Let's pray as we come to the Word. Father, there are storms in life. And we trust in you and we lean on you and we look to you during these storms. In a world that seems chaotic and out of control, we trust that your Word says that you're sovereign, that you rule over everything. And Lord, we now look to your Word and we pray that you would be honored in this time that we have left today. Pray that you would receive all the glory and pray that you would open our hearts and minds to what your Word says. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen. Do you ever find yourself asking, what is going on in the world? It seems lately that there's a shooting just about every week. There are wildfires. If you live on the West Coast, you'll see a lot of crazy things going on with the weather. Just going to shut that for a minute. You see war in the Middle East and in that part of the world, Europe, extended. You see persecution of the church. You see the things that ISIS is doing. You see a lot of stuff going on. And I hear a lot of people asking, what's going on? And I hear people asking, is the end coming? Is the end of the world coming? Is Jesus coming? And actually, I believe Billy Graham recently said that he thinks the end is coming soon. But not to say that he's always right, right? He's just a guy like you and me, but he's a godly guy. There's also been a lot of prophecy recently or predictions about the end of the world. I think it was supposed to happen in 2012, right? That didn't pan out that way. There's been a book and a couple books that have come out recently about this big date in the Hebrew calendar coming up in the middle of September about a potential economic collapse and catastrophe around September 13th and 14th. I actually read the book, and there are some decent points in there, and I'm not sure what might happen in September. And as I look at all these things and everything that's happening, and as I read the Bible, I can say with absolute certainty, I don't know when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen. I know some things in Scripture. There are some prophecies and predictions that I know are going to happen. One of the big ones is Jesus is coming back. We do know that's going to happen. As for the when, Jesus says no one knows the hour. And some people say, well, no one knows the hour, but maybe we can figure out the day. No. No one knows the hour is an expression in the Greek and Hebrew languages to mean no one knows when. Okay, that's what it means. No one knows when it's going to happen. But Jesus addresses the future. Back 2,000 years ago, he talked about things that would happen in his day, in the next 1,000 years, next 2,000 years, and for eternity. He knows it all, so he talks about it all. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today, or a lot today, I guess. And it's a continuation of last week's message. You remember Jesus was talking about all these important things about eternal life, and this one guy in the crowd raises his hand and says, teacher, tell my brother to split the inheritance money with me. Remember this guy who was only concerned about himself, and he was concerned with material things? And then Jesus tells the parable of the rich fool, of the man who stores up for today, not realizing that he's not storing anything up for eternity. And the end of that parable, here's what Jesus says. This is Luke chapter 12. It's page 1031 in the Blue Bibles. And I'm just going to read the last few verses here. Luke 12, verse 32. Jesus says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The idea is this. Focus on eternity, not on just what's temporary. What's eternal obviously lasts forever. That's what eternity means, forever. What you see here in front of you, the stuff that you have, is temporary. And then Jesus goes on to talk about being watchful and being ready. We're going to pick it up there with verse 35. He says, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So we see a lot of things happening in the world that are a fulfillment of prophecy, a lot of upheaval. If you look at Luke 21, I'm just going to read a few verses from Luke 21 in verse 25. It says, "And there will be signs and sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." So that's a continuation a few chapters later in the book of Luke. But what Jesus says in that parable that I just read is, be ready. You don't know when he's coming. And he uses the parable of servants in a home. The master goes out. He's apparently at a wedding. He returns. You want to keep the lamps burning. This is before electricity, where you can flip the switch. It's very difficult to get the fire going again. So be ready for this guy, so that when he comes into this house, he can see it's warm. He's ready. You're ready for him. So be ready. And then he switches analogies to a totally different parable of the thief coming. He's actually comparing himself to a thief. Jesus is. Now we say, well, wait a minute. Jesus is obviously not a thief. He doesn't do anything that's wrong or sinful. No, he doesn't do anything wrong or sinful. But he compares himself to a thief in the sense that he comes when no one's expecting. If you knew when the thief is coming, you'd be ready, right? You'd get yourself ready. You'd lock the thing up. But we don't know when Jesus is coming. And that's his point here. And then Peter asks a question. Peter seems to be the one that always speaks up. In verse 41, Peter asks, "Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone?" Now, it looks like Jesus doesn't answer the question, but I think he does answer the question. The Lord answered, verse 42, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to keep them their food allowance at the proper time?" So, what's he say? Who then is the faithful and wise manager? So, is Jesus just talking to Peter and the disciples? No, it's anyone who's faithful and wise will do this. Anybody. And this is for us. "It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, 'My master is taking a long time in coming,' and he then begins to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour when he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." So who is the one who's been given much and been trusted with much? That's us. Okay, we know the Lord. We know what the Word says. So we should be ready for his return. And it says when his return happens, when Jesus comes again, there will be judgment. Now, there are a lot of different views about the second coming of Jesus and how that's going to play out. There's a lot of different scriptures and there's a lot of different passages we can look at. We're not going to look at them all today. For the most part, we're just looking here in the Gospel of Luke. But there are also a lot of interpretations. I'll give a few of them to you. There's amillennial, there's postmillennial, there's inaugurated millennial, there's historical premillennial. You got these? There's classical premillennial, which is like historical premillennial, and then there's dispensational premillennial. Okay? And I'm not saying that just to show off. I'm telling you this because there's a lot of different views of the end times, and different people in this room today have different views of how this is all going to happen. But here's one thing I want to say to you. When Jesus returns, there will be judgment. And there are some views that say when he returns, there'll be a few years and then a long period of years, and then at the end there will be judgment. I want to tell you what Scripture says, what Jesus says in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. That's not what he says. What Jesus says is when he returns, right then, there will be judgment. And I think as we look at Revelation, we should also look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You agree with that? We should look at the whole Bible. And if your view of Revelation doesn't match Matthew, Mark, and Luke and what Jesus actually teaches, we should look at Revelation a different way, maybe. We should look at it again. But even if we have different views of the end times, here's one thing to think about. For any one of us here today, today could be the day you meet Jesus. We could die. And I know it's something you don't want to think about. And if you're younger, you think, yeah, I'm never going to die. That's way off in the future. Young people die. Old people die. People in the middle die. And people, any of us, by an accident, by an illness, could go see Jesus today. That is what could happen. We could face judgment. Jesus could return today. He could return on September 13th. He could return in 50 years. But the point of the whole thing is to be ready, is to understand that he is coming back. I know it's been a long time, and Jesus said, I'm coming soon. And that seems like a long time, right? 2,000 years? But what else does he say in Scripture? 1,000 years is like a day. To God, time isn't really a big issue, right? He can see Adam and Eve right now, and he can see you and me right now, and he can see Jesus return right now. And his understanding of time, we can't even get our minds around that, the beginning and the end. But the fact is that Jesus is going to return, and there is going to be judgment. What do we do with this? Well, I'd like to start with what we shouldn't do with this. Put some things up here. Here are some unbiblical responses to Jesus' return. Try to fool God. What do I mean by that? Well, here's what I mean. Sometimes you get this idea, okay, when Jesus comes back, we have to be ready for him. And you think about it like when the teacher's out of the classroom and the kids are all throwing spitballs. Do they still do that? Does that happen? But when the teacher returns, somebody says, oh, the teacher's coming. And everybody sits at their desk like this, right? You might be able to fool that teacher. Some of you who might remember Eddie Haskell, Leave It to Beaver, you know, he was like the sneakiest kid in town. Hello, Mrs. Cleaver, how are you today? You look lovely. You know, you could fool Mrs. Cleaver, you could fool the teacher, but the fact is, Jesus knows your heart. So even if you're doing a good deed on the day that he returns, he knows your heart. You can't fool him. That's not how it works. Do you love him? Do you have relationship with him? Do you believe in him? You can't trick him. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. Another thing that people sometimes do when they think about the end coming, and this happened in Jesus' time, or actually the time right after Jesus, and Paul speaks to this, people stop living. They stop working. They just kind of waited around. You know, he's coming. I'm gonna stop working. And Paul said to these people, for him who will not work, let him not eat. You know, in other words, go on with your life. Keep living. You know, think about it this way. What would you change if you knew that Jesus was coming, say, this Saturday? You knew it was 6 days away. What would you change? Maybe you take the week off from work. But would you do anything different? Would you tell other people about Jesus? Would you make amends with someone who hasn't forgiven you or you haven't forgiven? Would you try to do things that have eternal value? Well, let me tell you this. If you would change anything, if you knew Jesus was coming Saturday, then you should change that thing anyway. Right? You should live for Christ today as if Jesus is returning. You should live for Christ every day. If there's something you would change, if you knew the date that he was coming, then change that thing. And you know what? Go to work. Go to work and be a witness, right? And serve him there. Don't give up. Don't quit living and just wait. There are people that have done this. There are people who have predicted the end of the world, different groups, Christian groups throughout history. They go up to a mountain and they just wait. And they predict it for a certain date, and the date comes and goes, and it's like, oh, wasn't there a group, a Christian group in 2012 that did that? They were waiting. Oh, here it comes. It didn't come. Don't stop living. Keep living for Christ. Another thing not to do is to be afraid. Jesus doesn't say in this passage he's coming again, so be afraid. He says he's coming again, so be ready. Be ready for his return. Don't be afraid. This is a great day. John talks about it in Revelation. He says, amen, come, Lord Jesus. He looks forward to that day that Jesus will return. We look forward to that day. The world is messed up. There's lots of crazy things going on. But let's remember this. God is still sovereign. He reigns. He rules. He's got everything under control. I was talking to a guy this week, not a Christian, pretty much, as far as I can tell, an atheist. And he said, and I said something to him like God is in control or things happen for a reason. He said, I can't believe that. He said, look at all the crazy things going on in the world. There are babies dying and different things happening. And I said, it doesn't mean we have to understand it. It doesn't mean we're going to understand everything that happens in the world. But God is in control. So there's no need to be afraid of Jesus' return. I look forward to that day. I hope you do too. When he makes everything new. What a great day. So that's the unbiblical response. Here's truth about Jesus' return. We don't know when he's coming. It could be soon. There are signs that Scripture points to that indicate that maybe it could be today or in this day that we live. People were saying that during World War II as well. It could be very soon, though. But we don't know when. But here is another truth. When he returns, he will judge. There is going to be judgment. There's a belief out there that it's just universal. The Unitarian Universalist Church would tell you this. Everyone goes to heaven. That isn't what the Bible teaches, though. It's not what it says. There is going to be judgment. There is going to be blessing on one side. There's going to be condemnation on the other side. So the answer for us is this. Believe in Christ. That's how you get ready. So when Jesus says, be ready, be awake when he returns, he's not talking about being physically awake. If Jesus returns and it's 3 a.m. and you're asleep, it's okay. You love Jesus. It's okay. Believe in Jesus. Put your faith in Christ. And in the meantime, live for Christ. Don't change a thing. If you're living for Christ, if you knew that Jesus was coming, you shouldn't have to change anything. Because if you're living for him, you are ready. You are awake. You are doing the things that please him. If there's something he wouldn't want to see you doing when he returns, then stop doing it. And by the way, he can see you anyway, right? He can see everything you're doing. He's not the teacher who's outside the room. He's in this room right now. Where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, I am right there in their midst, he says. And I want to read to you finally what it says at the end of Revelation. This is Revelation 21, and this is the hope that we have. Revelation 21, verse 1. And this is the end, when everything has been made good and right. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. As we read this passage, we see that there is blessing. If you're in pain right now, if you're troubled, if you're worried about what's going on in the world, he's going to wipe away every tear. He's going to get rid of every worry that you have. You will have peace, and you can have peace now. So as we look forward to that day that Jesus returns, look forward to it expectantly. If you don't like what's going on in the world, remember that Jesus is going to make everything new and good. And in the meantime, remember this. We don't know when he's coming. He is going to judge when he returns. So believe in Christ and live for Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have this hope. We thank you in the midst of a world that we don't always understand, Lord, and seems like there's a lot of pain, that you have a plan. And Lord, I pray that we would be faithful witnesses. Lord, I pray that we would be ministers of peace and love and healing to all those around us. I pray this in your mighty name. Amen.